This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
Well, sorry to cut that off, but you see, I've got this really great song that I'm going to play. And, of course, it's 1 o'clock, so you know it's after hours, queer radio with radio. Queer radio with attitude.
Take two.
I need to come to rehearsals more often.
I'm the one who usually shows up here drunk. What's going on with you?
I know. Anyway, I heard this song last night, and it was at a drag show. And for some unknown reason, the first people I thought of was Lisa and Ricky.
I can't wait.
And moms and dads, if your kitties are still up, and they shouldn't be at 1 a.m., send them out of the room.
Oh, no.
What? I got off, now it's time for you to go home?
Not even close.
Okay.
Santa Claus! wine, come and see. Everyone is merry when they have someone to cling to. Only when I'm lonely do I search for something more. And I get to thinking as I stop to look around me, what about Christmas if Jesus wasn't here? But he came one fine day. He was born early one morn. And he lived a life so pure. No one can erase the day when he washed my sins away.
Baby, for Christmas, I'm gonna break all the laws. Santa Claus, listen to my plea. Yeah, Santa Claus, listen to my plea. I don't want nothing for Christmas but my baby back to me. Good morning, blues. Blues, how do you do? Good morning, blues. Blues, how do you do? I feel all right, but I come to worry you. Of the girls I love even more than I usually do. And although it's been said I may never be wed, I promise you.
Sing out, girls. Yes, I'll be a homo for Christmas and Easter and Labor Day. You can really count on me. Not homo sapien, not homo erectus, but homosexual.
We'll stand below the mistletoe and share.
Contains subject matter that portrays gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered people as first-class citizens, deserving of an equal share of the American dream. Topics like this are known to piss off televangelists, backwater preachers, some talk show hosts, blue-haired biddies, several members of Congress, and other socially unacceptable outcasts like radical right-wing nut jobs. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
Tuned into After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude, a continuing tradition here on KPFT 90.1 FM. The crew of After Hours is ready to bring you news, interviews, discussions, and music geared to the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community and our allies. We are a diverse group here, but we all have one thing in common. We are out of the closet and urge everyone to come out of his or her closet as well. That means recognizing who you are, standing up for yourself and your rights, and being proud of who you are. We understand that this might not be possible due to age, job, or frame of mind, but remember, we are here especially for you. So kick back and relax and get ready for this week's edition of After Hours.
Galveston in the world. This is After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude. Listener sponsors, commercial free, yada, yada, yada. And now for two men who know a lot about the North Pole.
Or someone's pole.
Any pole we can get. Yeah, my name is Chris Harrison. I'll be your co-executive producer for this evening.
And I'm Jimmy Carper. I'm the other one. Let's talk about music first. Because I opened with a great song. I heard it at a fundraiser drag show last night over at Tony's Corner Pocket. ICOH had a Christmas show called Christmas on Uranus.
Double entendre.
Yes, it was. Hey, we raised $700 this show. It was really good.
Money was coming out of your ass.
And yes, well, I was counting it, so, no, it wasn't.
It's just like an ATM. You swipe the card.
Yeah. And
you
One of the performers did this number, and I said, I have got to play this on the show tomorrow night. You know, it's you know, okay, it's pretty much of a straight song, but it's funny as hell.
Yeah.
I saw Mommy blowing Santa Claus.
Well, you know, it's,
and it, you know,
you can twist it around a little bit and make it lesbianish. I saw Mommy eating Mrs. Claus.
Or
I saw Daddy blowing Santa Claus.
Or I saw Mommy, who's a drag queen, blowing Santa Claus.
My head hurts.
Okay. Anyway, I don't know who that was by. It's, you know, it's kind of on a compilation CD that that was put together by the person who did the performing. And
I wonder, wouldn't it be interesting if you just do a quick quick Google search of it and find...
I saw Mommy blowing Santa Claus?
Yeah. I put in Queer Christmas last week.
I can imagine what you came up with.
Well, actually, the first one I came up with was J.D. Doyle's website.
Ta-da!
And after that was some queer versions of 'Twas the Night Before Christmas, and I don't think we can do that on the air.
No, you can't do that on the air. Well, let's finish the music.
Let's finish the music. I was working on the music. I was trying to find who the artist was.
Okay.
Whoever came up with that music should have received
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. When the FCC comes knocking, we need to know who to point to. I don't know.
Not that you can go down the sound waves and buy it, but hey.
But do. I would call me and let me know when you're coming down, because I would love to be standing next to the counter while you go up and say, "Hi, do you have I Saw Mommy Blowing Santa Claus?" I want to be there to capture the clerk's face.
Yes, that would be fabulous.
And not, better yet, tell me when you're calling up KSBJ and you're going to request that song. I want to record that. I want my moment on YouTube. Hi, I want you to know, can you play I Saw Mommy Blowing Santa Claus? Benny Hinn couldn't resurrect that woman. Followed by that song was Robert... I can't read my writing.
Robert Anton.
Anton. With What About Xmas?
Yes, he has a full CD of... Christmas and spiritual music.
He's half nude.
Yeah.
And then he sings gospel.
Yeah. It's pretty hot looking.
I think he shaved his three chest hairs in the sign of the cross.
And then our good old friend Dave Hall came in.
He took the list away from me.
No, I didn't.
He took the CDs.
Oh. From his song, his CD entitled Christmas, and it's in all Christmas music. We'll be playing more from this later in the show. But I played Santa Claus Blues, and I played that mainly because he left a note for me on the CD that track number 4, which is Santa Claus Blues, is a Texas song collected in the 1940s at a prison farm in Sugar Land. So I'm sure Ray Hill and his gang know all about that song, Santa Claus Blues. Then, of course, the perennial favorite by Venus Envy, I'll Be a Homo for Christmas. From the CD by the same name. And we have been playing this sucker, since 1995. But people request it every single year. And you have got a list of about 500 songs that are titled I Saw Mommy Blowing Santa Claus, right?
No, my face just dropped when I saw the artist.
Who?
Up until a couple of years ago, we could have...
It sounded like Bruce Springsteen.
Think accordions.
Accordions? Myron Florin?
Weird Al Yankovic.
Oh, no kidding.
I can't believe that.
Fabulous. I had no idea.
That's why my mind is going...
And I have a lot of his music, but not that one.
Yeah, it's on his list between I Remember Larry and I'll Be Mellow When I'm Dead. That's my face just dropped when I go. I mean, it's like, you know,
why not?
Weird Al Yankovic singing "I Saw Mommy Blowing Santa Claus."
Well,
up to a couple years ago, you know, there was the rumors about him. You know, he was 40, he was unmarried,
whatever.
But he went out and found a woman, allegedly.
Well, what do you know? Weird Al, huh? That's cool. It didn't even sound like him.
Well, you know, he, with some of the stuff he does, it's, he does his newest video, actually, I saw it online before I saw it on MTV.
Mm-hmm.
He looks like the guy who won American Idol, Tyler Hicks.
Oh.
And it's kind of a cartoonish one. It's on jibjab.com.
Oh.
Is who did his last music video for him, so it's kind of cartoonish.
Oh.
You ought to go there. There's one. There's a year in review cartoon that they made called Nucking Futs. And it's this kid's chorale chorus.
Yeah.
It's kind of like an elementary school pageant as they sing the events of the past year.
Really?
It is cute.
I
think I can actually play it on the air. I think we'll save it for two weeks from now.
Yes.
When we do the end of the year show.
Okay. Okay. I want to report that I received a letter from one of our new, well, actually, an MBB, who, that's, for those of you who don't stay for the last half of the show, our MBBs are our men behind bars, who write to us quite faithfully, especially a couple. And this is from a guy who's been listening for a very long time, but didn't want me to use his name or really even read the letter. But I want to acknowledge that I've got it. And he sent a really nice picture of himself.
It must be Jimmy hasn't shared.
No, he's got all of his clothes on. Here. See, isn't he hot looking?
Yeah, it's... Also, I'm coughing because I have a cold, not because of... Not as an editorial. You know, I don't try and do editorials anymore.
Oh, God, no.
I don't need the vacation.
Okay. Okay, he does look older than 21, so I can see why you wouldn't be interested.
I can't help it. I was raised Catholic, and I was expected to be a priest.
Oh, okay. Well, what do you know?
Speaking of that, if Stephen from the previous show was listening, it's a good thing you ran.
Is that his name?
Yes.
Boy, what a hottie that guy was. Damn.
And the funny thing is, Clarity was, you know, she called me over to take a look. It's like,
whoa, she knows your type.
Oh, and the thing is, he missed it because Lisa was talking about, he asked a question, and Steve was talking about the kind of girls he goes for, because we're talking about size, matters.
Yes.
You know, downstairs. Mm-hmm. So he decided to talk about size mattering upstairs on the women, and he couldn't see it, but I was shaking my bodacious tatas at. I thought Lisa was going to fall out of her chair.
Oh, she saw it, but he didn't.
Yeah,
I love that. I love that. Okay, some things going on in the community while you are checking out others. I got an email from J.D. Doyle, because this is time for his annual queer Christmas music show. That's right, more than one. And as usual, while I've got two 58-minute versions ready to hear as part of the Queer Voices show on KPFT, have absolutely no willpower in limiting the internet versions of these shows. I ended up with 3 shows on my site with over 60 artists, totaling over 4 hours. Of course, on my site, you can see pictures of the artists and the recordings. So... on Monday night show, December the 18th, he's doing RuPaul and Betty, Roger Kuhn, Frank Barton, Natalie Brennett, Joshua Klipp, Evil Beaver. I thought that would get your attention. Corinne.
I hope he would get us a new copy of that CD that he gave us before. Because, you know, especially after you playing that first song there, I want to be able to play Below Me, It's Christmas.
I see. Danny Riddle, Jackie Beat, and even Christine Jorgensen. And next week, on December 25th, Christmas Day, he's going to be doing some Dean McBride, Stephen Cohen... Kiki and Herb, Bayou City Performing Arts. That's local, by the way. San Francisco Gay Men's Chorus, Jill Sobule, Joy Cardwell, Tomboy, Liberace.
When's he going to play Shirley Q?
Rufus Rainwright. That may be, that's probably on the internet version.
We can play Rufus. We've got a Rufus queer song.
We do. And let's see. So stay tuned for that because he does excellent work, and he really puts a lot of time and effort into it. And he is the queer guru of queer music of the world. You do still have time to get tickets for the Gay Men's Chorus of Houston holiday concert, Home for the Holidays, which is December the 19th, Tuesday, 7:30 p.m. at Jones Hall. Contact Jones Hall and see what you can, or, you know, go there the night of it. But you might want to get in touch with Jones Hall first. Coming up this morning will be Breakfast at Mary's, of course, put on by ICOH. And that's from 10 until noon. If you want to have a before-noon cocktail out, you can stop by Mary's and have breakfast and a cocktail. And after that, if you just can't, if you don't get up at 10 o'clock, you can go to... okay. He's doing the finger wave at somebody in there.
The host for our show.
Oh, Tony's Corner Pocket, because on Sundays from 12:30 until, they serve brunch. And they have down-home Southern with a Tex-Mex twist, eggs fried or scrambled, ham and red eye gravy, grits with cheese, and all of that kind of good stuff. Things going on, let's see now. Let's see. Oh, A Very Cult Christmas. That is the annual Cult 45's Christmas Show and Community Awards, and that's at their home bar, the BRB, 2400 Brazos. That's right across the street from Specs. That's going to be Sunday, December the 17th at 7 p.m. But if you're smart, you'll go at 6, because that's when they're serving the food.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for telling me.
Oh, you didn't know that? I know it's on the poster at 7, but food starts at 6.
Oh.
And they put out a nice spread for Christmas.
Oh. And it's
really good food, too. Also, they will have wreaths for sale.
Auction, isn't it?
Auction. Yes, auction. That different people, individuals, and...
Community groups.
Organizations have made and donated. So that's always fun. I know every time I've been to one of those, I've come home with...
Well, a tree.
Because they've always done little short trees, you know, little two-foot trees in the past. But this year they're doing wreaths, so I'm very excited about that. And in fact, there is going to be a wreath there donated by After Hours, who I have to give credit to Chris, because he's doing the whole thing, because I'm doing the one for GCAM. Gulf Coast Archive and Museum is also got one going. And then they will have awards that they will be giving away, their yearly awards. And we're kind of up for a couple of those.
Yeah, I got to get off.
You got to get off?
I got to find my Sunday Western wear.
Western wear?
What's called 45s?
I don't wear Western wear.
Oh, come on. You got to have a pink something or pink something in Western wear.
I don't have anything in Western wear.
You've got a pink vest.
I've got a black leather vest.
Okay.
I'm working on getting one there, but, you know, damn PETA keeps fighting me on it.
Well, it's going to take a whole cow.
Well. Actually, I wanted to go for something more, you know, for someone of my size. I was thinking of something more exotic, like, you know, hippopotamus or rhinoceros.
Actually, I wanted pink leather, but most of my friends who do wear black leather vests just kind of gasped in horror, so I caved in.
Do you know how much dye it would take to change a black leather into a pink leather?
Well, none if you use a white cow.
Good luck. Try finding a white cow in this city.
Or actually, you cut your expense in half by using a Holstein.
A Holstein?
Yes.
Yeah, where it's black and white?
Yeah. Anyway, the Danny Villa Award is named for an individual who was in the forefront of people helping people with AIDS. That is given to a member of the community for their work not directly related to the Cult 45s. And this year's nominees are Blanche DeBrie, Sona Alton, Jason Cryer, Rusty Rose, Lisa Ferranda, and...
Oh, my God, he finally got modest. Jimmy Carper.
Yeah. The Golden Cult Award is given to a member of the community for their work directly related to the Cult 45s. This year's nominees are Southern Country, Houston, Don Gill, Misfits Houston, PWA Holiday Charities, and After Hours at KPFT. And then there's the B.J. Summers Memorial Entertainer of the Year. That's also a very big award. And that is named in honor of a performer who did much for the Cult 45s, as well as many other organizations in Houston and Texas. It's given to a community performer for the support of the Cult 45s. This year's nominees are Rusty Rose, D.D. DeMarco, Cheyenne, Christopher Prado, and Jim Crawford. All very worthy of that award. And so Chris and I will be there tomorrow night at the BRB. And you know, and it's really I love the Cult 45s, but Opie's 22nd birthday bash is also happening at Tony's Corner Pocket at the same time.
So do we miss the food at the BRB and catch the snack over there?
And catch the Dick Dancers over at Tony's?
I'm sorry, for some reason I'm getting choked up.
So what kind of food would you like?
Just how much cheese do you want to go with that wine?
Ooh! Ouch!
Well, let's see. Contrarian's redheaded. I assume it's going to be a blue cheese.
That's right. You're very good. Very good. Very good.
Huh? He's single.
Opie?
Yes.
If he wants to make any money, he's single. At least for the customers. Yeah.
It's a fantasy.
Huh? Yes, that's right.
Yeah, well,
that's right.
I heard that he was straight.
Oh, sure.
You know, that's why. Well, that's where the single part comes in. Is, you know, singles and fives and tens does make a change.
Yes. Then, as we were talking about last week, Sweet Mama Cotton, also known around here as Marcy Ray, because she's a great supporter of the gay community and has her fans in the community, is going to be playing around town. And let's see, Sunday, 1 to 3, she got this gig at Kroger Stores. I know it sounds kind of funny, but
I think she's debuting her newest song, Paper or Plastic.
If she's listening, she will write a song with that. You know, she will do that. Anyway, today, from 1 to 3, she's going to be at the Kroger at the Woodlands. That's at Gosling at Research Forest Drive. And next Saturday, from 12 until 3, she'll be at the same place. And next Sunday, on the 24th, Christmas Eve, she'll be at the River Oaks Kroger at West Gray between Shepherd and Dunleavy.
Done to the tune of Pretty Ribbons.
And it must be time.
Oh, it's overtime. All right, we're going to bring Christopher in, but first we have a song that I'm dedicating.
Yo.
Yes. To Dwayne and all the people who work in the morning during the normal day hours, from us here in the afternoon, because in the evenings, because for some reason, the air conditioner only works when the sun's out.
Ooh.
That damn solar-powered AC unit we bought.
It must be it.
So the first words of the song kind of express how it is in the room right now. And coming up is Black on Black. So here we go. Ah, except they started the wrong song differently. Now it should be.
No, this is the verse. This, you're waiting for the chorus.
Yeah,
here we go.
Was dedicated to those who get to work during air conditioning hours. Christmas song, Chestnuts Roasting on Open Fire by the Seattle Men's Chorus. And I'm going to stretch here for a little bit while they're getting organized in the other room. Make sure I got the correct song cued. I don't even have his mics on. Oh yeah, just take over the show, Paul. As Paul takes the photograph, the official photograph of of our guests here this evening.
Historic events must be recorded.
Check out probably in the next week. If you go to cl.net, you'll see the faces of the voices you're going to be about to hear. But I can't start their segment without playing this song.
Welcome to the colored section. Welcome to the Negro League. Sign your name on a blacklist and know this, it's American history. See what it is to be blackmailed. See a real life conspiracy. Sign your name on a blacklist and know this, it's American history.
You're on. Welcome to Black on Black with Christopher Evans.
This is the final show for 2006, and so I certainly thank you for tuning in. In studio today, we have special guests out of the great city of Dallas, Texas, Roderick and Fred. How are you guys doing this morning?
Doing great.
Hey, how are you doing? Doing wonderful.
Thanks for having us.
Whose voice was that? Was that you, Fred? Oh, my God, that was Butch. I love it. What's that called? Like, role play, character play, or something like that?
It's called Early in the Morning.
Oh, it's called Early in the Morning. Okay. Well, we want to thank you all for joining us this morning. Again, this last edition of Black on Black for 2006. It has been an absolutely wonderful year being with the crew of KPFT 90.1, the talk show radio that listens to you. Absolutely love it. We are going to do a recap of 2006 on some of the topics that we've touched with the help of Roderick and Fred. So we're going to have a plethora, just a buffet table of subject matter that we're going to be going through. But I would first like to make an announcement concerning the former host of Black on Black, Miss Dionne Redmond. She graduated today from TSU, Texas Southern University, with her doctorate in something. I don't know what it was. I can't remember. But we are certainly proud of her and congratulate her in doing an outstanding job. She is certainly a Wonder Woman, and she looked absolutely fabulous at the graduation dinner. So if she's listening.
Education.
Okay.
At least that's what the alphabet soup after her name says.
I know. It's just all of that stuff.
Dr. Dionne Redmond, E, lowercase d, capital D, comma, LPC.
Whatever. So absolutely wonderful. So hopefully we will get a chance to speak with her. She's supposed to drop in, hopefully. So we wish her all of the best on her new endeavors. Masculinity and manhood was one of the topics that we discussed, and there were a group of guys who were here, and I had asked them to rate their masculinity on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being not masculine, 10 being hypermasculine. So I'm going to ask you guys the same thing, starting with Roderick. What would you rate your masculinity on a scale of 1 to 10?
I think I'd have to give myself a 3.
Okay. And why do you think that?
I mean, definitely just mannerisms, and I know myself. Sometimes it's something you can't see for yourself until others point it out, but I'm not super, super butch or masculine. I'm just me, but it's on a lower scale. But I'm cool with that.
Okay. Do you think that affects, do you think that ever affected your dating? Or he has a funny story to tell. That's why I kind of led into that. So I kind of set
him
up
you.
On that.
Thank you, Chris.
Tell us that story, could you please?
Okay, let's see.
Or do you want me to tell it? Because I tell a much better version.
Well, I'm sure yours will be very colorful, more colorful than mine. I'll cut to the chase. Basically, I had been dating this guy. We were talking for about, maybe 2 or 3 months. And I thought things were going well, but he kind of dropped a bomb and said, well, you know, you're really nice. I've enjoyed you and the time we've spent together, but you're just not masculine enough for me. And I'm thinking, it took you 3 months to tell me that?
Let me tell my version. Roderick's response was, you knew I was not Tupac Shakur when you met me. So, it took a little bit longer than it should have. But what do you think makes, well, Fred, you, on a scale of 1 to 10, what do you think, and you have to lean in towards the... There you go, sweetie. On a scale of 1 to 10, what do you think you're... How would you rate your masculinity?
Probably a 7.
Okay. What day during the week? I'm messing with you. And why do you think you're a 7?
Well, I don't know. I don't know.
You don't know why you think you're 7. Okay. So we just want how important is your masculinity to you? How important is the what you project to people?
Well, first and foremost, to kind of really address that, masculinity doesn't necessarily have to be something that's projected to people around you.
Okay. I mean,
masculinity is a way you feel about yourself. A portion of that.
Okay.
So, You know, it doesn't really matter, and I'm not particularly trying to portray anything other than I am who I am. And if you think I'm way out there, great. If you don't, great. It doesn't really matter. But
okay.
As long as I feel like I'm a man,
okay,
and I handle my man responsibilities, okay, that's where masculinity comes into play.
Well, when we actually had the show, what we did was we actually made a distinction between masculinity and manhood, and it actually came down to simply manhood is an manhood is about your integrity. Masculinity is about an image that we truly do attempt to project, either for ourselves or for other people. So it was certainly a good topic, and that issue is certainly prevalent in the black community, where masculinity is a highly regarded token. You know, we want our men to be very masculine, and that seeped into the whole DL.
Mm-hmm.
Thug Lovers, and we just watched, you know, Noah's Ark, Fred and I, tonight, the whole thing, and there was a situation where a guy told his lover, you know, I'm looking for something that you can't provide, I love you, but, and he had hooked up with some guy whose screen name was DL, Thug Lover, and he wanted that whole thing, so the lover proceeded to take thug lessons from a guy that he had met, so that was quite funny. T-Money. T-Money was teaching Little C, otherwise known as Chance, how to be a thug, and his friends were totally thrown off. So it was quite interesting to see that. As far as masculinity and manhood, when you were dating or looking for a mate, how important is their masculinity to you? Is it important to you that they have a certain level of masculinity? Are you able to look?
You know, it was important to me, and certainly I'm not discriminating, but for me and my comfort level and a partner, I wanted someone that, you know, if it's not on the same level of masculinity as me, but if not that, a little more. But I've dated guys that have been more feminine than myself, but I prefer to have someone a little more masculine.
Okay.
So, yeah.
What about you, Fred?
I really don't have a preference. I mean, it's,
for real?
I mean, because different people attract different things.
Okay.
Or you see different things in different people. So, depending on what attracts you to that person, they may very well be very.
Well, that's definitely to each his own.
Non-masculine acting, and then
okay,
but then they could be in either in the middle, or it could be very masculine.
Okay.
So as a general rule, I just don't go looking in particular for any type of in that, from that characteristic standpoint. I don't go looking for anything in particular.
Okay.
It's something else that's attracted me to the person.
Okay. Then we talked about interracial dating.
Uh-oh.
Now.
We can really talk about that.
We can really talk about that. And your story would be what, Roger, as far as interracial dating is concerned? Because we covered that topic also.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I've tried it. I definitely have. But I just, speaking for myself, I think people tend to feel comfortable with folks that are like their own, more like themselves,
okay,
from cultural interests, experiences, backgrounds. Just naturally, I think you gravitate towards that. But certainly, I think it's good to have an open mind and to try to meet different types of people and experience different things. I tried it, you know, and I can say that I tried it. But
okay,
now I'm my partner is African American, such as myself, and I'm fine with that.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about you, Fred, Mr. Save the world. We are the world.
Rainbow Coalition, as Chris would say.
I don't believe there's anything wrong with interracial dating.
Now, Fred, you're kind of on the other end, though, where you sometimes come across as maybe there may be an issue with dating African-American males for yourself.
Well, and oddly enough, because Roger and I have discussed this on several occasions, and he has probably tried to be a proponent of that thought process of as well as
uh-huh,
what I like and don't like. But I think when it really boils down to it, it's really just a matter of really what you're around the most.
Okay.
It's your environment, it's nature versus nurture, those types of things.
Okay.
So, but from a realistic standpoint, Would I date within my race? Yes.
Okay.
But it's all a matter of, again, what am I looking for? But
okay.
On the same token, and of course you said this earlier today trying to be funny, you naturally broaden your chances or opportunities by not limiting yourself to one particular subgroup or category. So, but it's a big world. There's lots to see, there's lots to do, and there's lots to learn.
That's true.
And from whether it's cultural, spiritual, et cetera.
Okay.
So you can't close yourself to those opportunities.
So do you think there's a difference in dating in different races? Have you found a difference? Would you be willing and honest to say if you felt that there was?
Well, there probably is a difference, but again, where the difference matters depends upon your background.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. I know Roger mentioned earlier, what's around you, what you see. Well,
okay.
I mean, let's just say, for example, you're an African American. However, you grew up in an all Caucasian environment. Okay, that's going to be normal to you. So
okay.
Therefore. That would not fit outside of what you would normally deal with. So it's not gonna be something you'd be uncomfortable with.
Okay.
Okay. Whereas you flip the script, you do the exact opposite. Okay. You're African American. You grew up around African Americans. That's gonna be what's comfortable to you.
Right.
Again, it's environment. It's those types of things. So you can't really just draw the line in the sand and say, okay, on this hand, it's. These are your differences, these are your characteristics, this is what you're going to see. You just can't do it, because we all come from such diverse situations and upbringings.
And I certainly don't knock anyone that dates outside of the race. I have no problem with it whatsoever. And, you know, initially, it was hard for me to understand why someone would single out a particular race and not date, you know, within their own, but it's like Fred said, it's about preferences, it's about comfort levels, backgrounds, and I'm fine with that.
And of course I was joking around with Roderick just about this, and I asked him, yeah, okay, you being African American, how many African American men have you dated? Okay. And the answer was?
That's all I've ever dated, primarily.
Okay. So, but, and then how many outside of your race? So, like, have you ever dated?
I can count them on one hand.
Okay. And my point being was, because we were with a group of friends, and he basically was saying, I've tried it, it didn't work.
Okay.
So therefore, I've done it. I'm not going to do it again.
Okay.
But then, being that, of course, we're all great friends and we know each other, I was like, okay, but you've tried it maybe twice outside your race, but yet we all are guilty of this. We will continually, though, accept thinking about the number of our people that share the same demographics or whatever we want to call it that we do. We've continued. How many of those situations that didn't work out?
And we still continue to.
And we still continue. So it's, you've done it, you've experienced it, I'm not going to do it again. But are the circumstances really that much different when you think about the types of problems that could arise in the various situations?
Okay.
Or not?
Well, don't get me wrong, I will try it again.
Oh, you will.
Did anyone see something new tonight, Lathan? Come on now.
So, now, Roger, you're in a committed relationship, and you've been in the relationship for how long now?
3 years.
3 years.
Past August.
And so,
congratulations.
And is this the first long-term relationship you've been in, and how are you liking that so far?
It has definitely been a journey. It's been an experience. I must say that I didn't ever think I'd reach this point in my life as far as relationships go, because you know, you start off, it's all great in the beginning, and you really think it's going to go somewhere, and it doesn't. But we've had some trying times, but we've hung in there. I truly love him, and he's helped me to see things about myself that I didn't know, and that whole self-discovery process, and someone being there with you through that process, it only makes that bond stronger.
Okay.
So it's been great.
And so where's your dating status stand at right now, Fred?
I'm single.
You're single. Okay. Do you have anybody in the works?
No.
No. Not at all, Fred.
Well, you know, I mean, honestly, of course, I travel a lot, so I'm not in one particular place on a very regular basis. And, of course, now that's all starting to change, life's starting to slow down again. But, you know, Roderick made a very interesting point. It's, I mean, you know, and he's learned within his relationship the self-discovery and the things that he's been able to kind of, in retrospect, see from himself as a result of being in that relationship. And I am really kind of going through that process alone.
Okay.
But only because my life now is starting to become different. It's stable. Okay. It's becoming stable in a different way, so that now that I can invest in that. So, I mean, I don't know. Relationships are great. I wouldn't be in one just for the sake of being in one.
Okay.
As sometimes we sometimes do. But what was the question?
Don't even worry about it, sweetie. Don't even worry about it. You went up on your tangent. I appreciate it, though. Roger, let me answer your question. The self-discovery that you spoke about, do you think you would have taken that same path or found out some of the things you found out about yourself had you not been in that relationship? Or does being in a relationship with someone force you to discover some things about yourself that you just would not have discovered had you not been in that relationship?
I think it's the latter. I don't believe I would have tapped into it not being in a relationship, a serious relationship, not games. Let me keep that straight. But I'll give you an example. I realized that I can trust again. I can trust again. And to give that person the opportunity to be trusted. Okay. And, you know, in previous relationships, you know, what is he doing? I got to find out. I got to sneak. But, you know, you can truly let that go after a point when you see that that person is committed. They're not going anywhere. Okay. They're serious about you and being together and having something and building it. And I can step back and start trusting and letting my guard down in that area. So I really think had I not been in a relationship, I still would have been, because you're building those experiences based on the past and everything that's happened to you in prior relationships. So, you know, just in the dating scene, probably not.
Okay.
I don't think I would have learned that about myself, because I would have always been on guard.
Okay. For those of us who are not in a relationship, what is the one piece of advice that you would give for the upcoming year if we are in fact serious about maybe finding someone to be in a serious relationship? What is the best piece of advice that you could actually give someone?
I think just recognizing truly who you are and just keeping it real with that other person, just knowing your shortcomings and your flaws, noting them up front, because that's the worst thing you want to do is put on a facade and then, you know, into the relationship it's like Jekyll and Hyde. But just be honest, you know, I have trust issues, I have certain needs that need to be met, I've been hurt, I've had these experiences, and I need someone to be patient with me and work through that.
Okay.
I think just being open and honest up front, and we don't talk enough with each other and get to know each other. It's so fast and so quick in relationships. I really think if you just take the time and get to know that person and be honest about who you are, I think that's the best advice I could give.
Okay. Well, we certainly appreciate it. And on that note, we're going to go into our first Christmas song. This is a song by Kelly Price entitled Ave Maria. You like the way I rolled my little R like that? Isn't that beautiful?
It was beautiful.
I practiced all night long.
Say it again.
Ave Maria.
Maria?
Don't it's Italian, not Spanish.
Oh. They still...
Maria.
Well, that's the more...
Yeah. It's a song about the Virgin Mary.
That's right. And it's a beautiful song.
You're listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude. Listener sponsor, commercial free, Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT, 90.1 FM, Houston, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org. Now it's time for Ave Maria. What button do I push?
Don't ask me.
thank you for coming back to Black on Black with Christopher Evans. And we have in the studio this morning Frederick and Roderick. This morning, Frederick and Roderick were discussing something. What were you talking about, Fred? Talking about truth or trusting?
Oh, we were going back to the whole trust issue.
Okay.
Or trust items, because that was one of the things that Roderick mentioned.
Okay.
He learned to trust again.
Okay.
And I was just asking him if he felt like that trust. In and of itself, is there a different trust between the person that you share your life with, or your partner, and then your closest friends?
Okay.
Well, I mean, there's basic trust in any relationship, I think, with family, friends, and partners. I mean, you trust that they're not going to rob you blind.
Well, but they will. I mean, and maybe that's the answer. They mm-hmm. will, regardless of if they're what they are in your life.
Mm-hmm.
So, and maybe I'm just asking that because we've been friends for so long, and it's really probably more of a, you know, who's got your back and who's really going to be there for you.
But trust is actually the your ability to be vulnerable with someone and to allow them in a space where they actually could do you harm. So you're taking a chance mm-hmm. when you're trusting. It's a very vulnerable state, and it's being comfortable in that vulnerable state with someone is what I define trust as. And on the same token, they talk about forgiveness, and I heard a man say one time that forgiveness boils down to allowing someone the intimacy again that they possibly could hurt you. If you truly forgive someone, you allow them to come as close as they did the last time and to possibly cause the same type of harm that they did the first time. That's true forgiveness. I don't like that definition.
No, and I don't agree with that.
You don't agree with that? Then what is forgiveness?
I think forgiveness is recognizing, truly recognizing the situation that occurred and understanding that you're not harboring any ill will or bad feelings, but you're moving on from it. A lot of people associate forgiveness for weakness, but I don't think it's a form of weakness.
But wait a minute. I tend to agree with what you're saying, but when you go back to that original definition, thinking about its practical or its applicable use, realistically, though, forgiveness doesn't necessarily mean that the person who has been forgiven will be the benefit of that forgiveness.
Okay.
That could mean that the next person that you deal with is the person who's the beneficiary of that forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
Because typically what happens is we harbor feelings from previous situations, etc., okay. And they then in turn they should guide us and help us in going down a path of having our eyes open so that we don't make the same mistakes again. But in order to be able to do that, you do have to be open enough to allow yourself to be vulnerable again.
For the next person. Not the original.
For the next person.
For
the next person or even for the very same person. But I mean, but that then goes in, you know, that is going to be trust. That's going to be love. And then that becomes what is your definition of love. And is love really the thing that keeps people together? And because I love you, does that mean I need to stay with you? Or does it mean because I love myself, I've got to do, et cetera?
Yeah.
So. Roderick, you brought up acts of desperation, which is something, there's a seminar, I do a seminar called A Hungry Bastard Will Eat Anything, and you were kind of with me when that whole thing started to form and come together, and there was an acronym I had for that. I don't know what I did with it, Roderick. It's somewhere in here. But when we talk about acts of desperation, we have some stories. But going back to A Hungry Bastard Will Eat Anything, it really does encompass our talk about things that we do out of desperation to be in a what we feel like is a relationship. And I did this seminar, and some people were offended by the word bastard. And when I told them that bastard was it was an acronym, and what it means is B stands for broken, being in a state of disarray, disordered, incomplete, separated, and violated. A stands for abased. beast, a lord of lowered self-esteem. S stands for seduced, led away from duty, accepted principle, or proper conduct. T is for termless, without boundary or limit. A is for assenting, belief in another's views, proposals, or actions. R stood for recidivistic. And someone told me that is not a word, but it actually is. Recidivistic means having a tendency to lapse into previous unhealthy patterns or behavior. And D stands for debris, scattered remains of something broken or destroyed. So that's what the bastard stands for, and a hungry bastard will eat anything. And it just, my grandmother used to say it all the time, and I always thought she was talking about food, but she was talking to my, maybe my mother or my aunts and my uncles about the relationships that they would get into, and that they actually were not healthy for them. And as I grew older, I could see myself doing some of those same things, getting into relationships and going to relationships that weren't healthy for me, but because I was either emotionally, spiritually hungry, and I wanted somebody to stroke me and touch me, and just to say, oh, I have somebody. You take into your life, you allow people to pour into your life, just pure trash. And so this was actually something that I did for me. And it, one of the areas that's covered is emotional hunger. And I walk around saying it all the time now. And so I have some people who walk around, and they just use the term. They just overuse it sometimes. You know, a hungry bastard will eat anything. So when we talk about acts of desperation, what, if you could share, what was one of your acts of desperation before you're in this wonderful relationship you're in right now?
Definitely before this relationship. I think back to my first relationship. I won't call any names. but just giving myself away, I mean, everything I had, to the point where my credit was absolutely ruined. I had no money, just emotionally drained. And I can't believe I got to that point. I felt like I just couldn't be without this person. You know, first love, went through all the drama together, and he saw that I was willing to do anything for him and took advantage of that.
Okay.
And I felt like I was, you know, my acts were out of love, and I would receive love and wasn't. And it took a long time to break out of that emotional state and the psychological damage. But I got past it. But, yeah, that was a rough period. I was young, learned a lot from it, got thick skin as a result from that experience. But yeah, I've been there.
Okay.
And even afterwards, maybe not as extreme, but still there, even physically, just needing someone there.
Yeah.
And it's amazing what you will do out of loneliness.
Yeah.
And just to have that comfort and to have someone there, and it's only a temporary solution. It's nothing permanent.
And what about you, Frederick?
I have no acts of desperation. I'm 100% perfect.
Okay, yeah, right. So I guess that's no comment on
no,
that.
No, I mean, I'm you know, similar situations like Roderick. I mean, I won't necessarily go into the specifics, but, I mean, I'm going blank now.
You're going blank, okay.
Yeah, because you don't want to go into the specifics.
You have to think about what you're saying. But no, I mean, just feeling like not only giving yourself, but giving the things that you've worked hard for away.
Yeah.
And losing your sense of pride.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, losing the sense of pride is what causes you to do things that cause you to give away things that you wouldn't give away, or accept things that you wouldn't accept, or be a person that you wouldn't normally be. So those are some of the examples.
Because I believe we've all actually had them. And now I'm at a point now where I'm very stern about what I will accept and won't accept. I've met a young gentleman, 25, and we were talking on the phone, and he was telling me that he's involved right now with another young man, and this young man absolutely adores him and cares for him, and he's looking for work right now, the young man that I'm talking to, and he says, you know, my roommate's giving me 2 weeks to find something, but the young guy that he's talking to loves him so much and told him, you know, I'll help you financially a little little bit. He just went on and on about how great this guy was. And so he says, oh, you know what, Christopher? I shouldn't be talking to you like this about him. It's probably making you jealous. I was like, no, but I do have a thought, because he was saying that if he didn't find work, then he would have to move back to his home, his hometown with his parents. And I was telling him, no, I'm not jealous, but if in fact you do have to move back home, could you give your friend my phone number? He sounds like a really nice guy. So he hung up the phone in my face and called back about an hour later and just couldn't believe I had told him that. And I told him that you're trying to play a game that I wrote the book on. What you were expecting me to do was to throw in that, oh, maybe I'll try to financially help you too. But that game is played and old. But I remember a day when I would have thrown in, oh, yeah, let me help you too, right, to try to garner his affection and I'm not doing that anymore. At this age, at 36 years old, I need you to have a FICO score above 420. You know, I need you to be able to define what an escrow account is, what a mortgage is, and there's just some things you cannot put up with. There's some things that have to be brought to the table.
That's right.
Because my grandmother used to always say, don't ever fool with anybody that has, you know, doesn't have as much to lose as you do. Make people bring to the table what they're expecting to eat. So, as far as acts of desperation, I've had them. I've lived in a house where my lover was dating somebody else, and I'm helping him, you know, decorate the house for his mistress's birthday party. That's an act of desperation.
Right.
Because you're thinking, you know, I can act well enough. They'll give me what I want. And actually, that's certainly not. And they're looking at you like you're crazy. Mm. People will use you, but in the same eyesight, look at you and have no respect for you you're so weak.
Right.
But they like you in this weak state because they can get from you what they're actually looking for.
Well, and it becomes important to realize, too, that loneliness is not desperation.
You're right. Okay. It's not. There's nothing wrong with being lonely. But what you do out of loneliness
is what becomes your desperation. I mean,
exactly.
Yes.
So, and there are moments now, you know, the house is clean, and I've cleaned up, and it's a Friday night, and I'm sitting there twiddling my thumbs. And I'm like, it would be great to have somebody here, but you just can't go out on the street and grab every piece of trash, because they aren't gonna appreciate it. So, but it passes very quickly.
Well,
but you're in a good frame of mind. Loneliness, or some of the things that you might do out of loneliness, it passes more quickly now that I'm older. Mm-hmm. I don't suffer. I don't wallow in it as long.
That's wisdom. That's wisdom.
And it's part of experience. Fred, what were you gonna say? You can't remember now, can you? Okay.
Well, I have something to say. I think it's unfortunate the people that don't get the lesson, though.
It
happens continuously. They attract the same type of people. They keep going through the same experiences. It happens over and over again. And it just makes you wonder, what will it take for them to get that lesson?
But you know what? To add to that, though, is that, okay, let's say hypothetically, or going with you say that person goes through the same situations over and over and over and over and over again. At the end of each of those situations, should that person have been upset with the people they were dealing with? And if they're going through the same situations, is there a degree of forgiveness that's going on, that's recycling itself? Or do you feel like there's baggage that somehow or another is being held onto by that individual?
Yeah, I think it's baggage and damage. Because to clearly see that someone is taking advantage of you and abusing you, when you're just oblivious to that and numb to it, and you walk into it over and over again, that's a problem. That's a problem. I don't think that's forgiveness.
It's called emotional retardation.
Okay.
Is what it's actually called. And it just actually means that your emotions, your emotional development has been
stunted,
has been obscured to whatever point. Okay. Wonderful. So you have emotional retardation. You just aren't emotionally there at a place where you can take care of that. And you keep experiencing or going back into the same things. And again, it goes back to being hungry for something. And when you're hungry, you'll eat anything.
You will.
You will absolutely eat anything. And what about manipulation?
Mm. being manipulated or manipulating others.
Whichever one you're more familiar with.
We do both.
You think so?
We do.
We are victims of both. I mean, we give it and we receive it, or at least people try to.
So do you think you actually do both? Give me a situation where you've been the manipulator.
Well, I manipulate Roger all the time.
Oh, we're not talking about in that friendship we're talking
well,
about.
Well, but I mean, but I only use that as an example.
Okay.
When you try to make something work to where you have a positive gain, whether it's
okay,
figuring out a way to get your friend to drive you somewhere,
okay,
so that you don't have to drive and waste your gas or take you out to dinner or whatever, that's a form of manipulation.
I think a large part of manipulation that I see is that a lot of times people will hook up with someone that has less than they have, and the theory behind that is that I will show you the kind of money that I make, the kind of car that I drive, the kind of house that I live in, the type of lifestyle that I could possibly afford you, and once I show you all of that, maybe I can sneak me in with that and you'll take that. So a lot of times we're trying to sell a bill of goods and then sneak ourselves in behind that, hoping that people will, you know, foremost see everything that I have, and then you'll, in the course, accept me. And that boils down to low self-esteem.
Right.
I don't think by me presenting myself to you without all of my accoutrements, you are going to take that. I don't think I'm of that much value. So let me show you everything that I have. And then while you're pawning and oohing and aahing over that, I'll just kind of sneak myself into that. And people come across, or they'll give the sob story, oh, they use me. But that is a form of manipulation.
Uh-huh.
You're using what you have to manipulate the person, thinking that they have less, that they will, you know, take me. And I run into a lot of people who will hook up with someone they know that they're not evenly yoked with. You know, that they're not on the same educational level. There's just a lot of levels they're not on together. And they should not be together. But they're thinking, if I can find someone that's desperate enough, you know, to take me, well, I'll show them all of my toys first, and then I'll sneak myself in, and hopefully I can take out of that some affection, some adoration, some love, or some type of validation. So
it has to transcend beyond the physical.
It most definitely
has to
transcend beyond tangible means.
And so you
have to make sure you establish for yourself that I am only going to present to you me in all of my full glory. And I used to be like that. I would get dressed to empty the trash because I didn't think I was worthy enough for somebody just to accept me. So it was all about the clothes and about the presentation that I gave you, about the car I was driving in, and all of that good stuff. I wouldn't leave the house without, you know, my hair being done. You know, I'm just going to the grocery store and it's taking me an hour and a half to go get a loaf of bread, peanut butter and jelly. And I'm, you know, I'm trying to make sure I have this facade, this very pretty painted facade for people to see, and it never did garner anything. You know, it garnered other fake people because I was being fake, so it never panned out to anything. So
but that's what society has done to us, that's what it has subjected us to, and unfortunately in this lifestyle it is so fast and so youthful and materialistic. That's what we tend to take on and embody. So not to say that it's right, but it's definitely happening, and it's out there. It does, because that's what people look for, what, you know, the toys, the goods.
So
yeah.
What do you think, Fred?
Well, no, I mean, I think Roger is right. I think you're right. I mean, because you also have to deal with the fact that there's this sense of entitlement that seems to be at play. And I'm sorry, but for as many people who feel entitled to or have the expectation of entitlement in terms of he should provide me this or that or what have you, I don't think there's enough people out there who are like us, who are like you were at one time, trying to give, or, you know, being fake,
okay,
for all practical purposes, that causes this a whole other amount of people to feel that they are entitled to this. So there's a whole, I mean, it's catch 22.
Yeah, it is.
What do we think about, excuse me, let's go into looks.
Mm.
How important is it that somebody be aesthetically gratifying to you? That they...
To me, and that's the key word, to me.
Okay.
Not to others.
Okay.
And it is important. I think there has to be some type of attraction.
Okay.
Some type of... Because that's what we see as human beings. We see the physical first.
Mm-hmm.
Before you may even talk to them on the phone or whatever the case may be, you're going to see that person and instantly.
Okay.
There's going to be some type of attraction or you're not going to be attracted.
We actually talked earlier today when we were at Cafe Adobe. And you're right there, Roger.
Yes.
We were talking about chemistry.
Right.
And how important chemistry is. And we all know the love of my life. I talked about the chemistry that we had and versus aesthetically mm-hmm. pleasing. The chemistry was just is and still is just off the chain. And I do believe that. Do you think just looking at can you get that chemistry?
I think the chemistry leads to all of the other things.
Okay.
I truly do. I mean, Fred's just frowning up here. I mean, really, others may not think he is the most attractive person or good looking, but if the chemistry is there, that's all it takes.
Everything else
falls into place.
So it could be just a conversation.
Oh, most definitely.
I mean,
yes.
But then going back to what you were saying, though, when you said that.
That's a form of attraction.
But typically, what usually you see is if I saw you walking down the street and I thought that you were fine, yo, what's up? You know, I'm going to holler at you because I see you when I see you're fine. But chemistry, you would know that initially.
But you know what? There is, and I have, I'm going to go out on a limb. There is, if you watch someone long enough, it could be the way that they walk. It could be a conversation that they're having with someone else.
Mm-hmm.
You can get a spark of chemistry from that, their walk, their talk, and it can't, it may not even be directed towards you.
That's a character trait.
But it may be a character trait that triggers something in me, though, because for me, someone with a very strong demeanor,
mm-hmm.
that triggers some type of chemistry for me, even in women. Although I'm not attracted mm-hmm. physically to women, there's a certain chemistry that a strong willed woman just does for me. And her demeanor. I have a friend named Sakita. She was on the show with her son last month. And the reason why we're friends is because she had an off-the-chain chemistry.
Mm.
I had a picture of my then-lover on my desk, and she told me, I know him. And I gave her much attitude. I was like, well, how do you know him? And she was like, hold on. I haven't slept with him or anything. I just think I recognize him from somewhere. So I think we have wonderful, wonderful, absolutely off-the-chain chemistry as far as friends are concerned. And people actually think that we're married sometimes when we go out in public. So I think chemistry is very important. And you don't have to have direct... I think you have indirect contact with someone and pick up on that there's some chemistry there.
But it's also something that can build. Because chemistry doesn't necessarily have to mean anything from a relationship perspective. I mean,
okay.
You know, Roderick and I are very close friends mm-hmm. and people.
Well, I don't know, but go ahead.
People always seem to think that we are partnered
uh-huh.
by the way we carry on.
With each other,
you know, yelling, or you know, arguing, and you have some level of intimacy. I mean,
yeah.
All relationships do. I mean,
yeah.
As friends or what have you, but there is a chemistry to that friendship,
exactly,
that most people can't understand.
Okay,
just like if we were to go back to the whole aesthetically gratifying piece, you might like somebody who is. To the majority of people, not physically attractive.
Okay.
But if you've got that chemistry.
Okay. What about physique versus personality? Now, I'm going to speak on this because my baby that I'm still head over heels for is not all that physically attractive. However, that chemistry is what comes into play. I will... hit a gal in the back of her throat with a hammer for messing with that man. Right now, the gal that's messing with him right now, I can't get to her because she's in another state. But if I'm ever in her presence, y'all just have my bail money ready. Because I'm going in for her. So, but what do you think about that? Physique versus personality. I'll give me personality at this age. And I've learned at this age, I can't require of you what I'm not. I don't have a six pack, so I can't look for you to have one unless you're looking for somebody and you don't mind that they don't have one. But I'm just not going to require. I do require that you be cute as I am. So you, on a scale of 1 to 10, you do need to be 9.5, 10. You know, I'll give a little leeway there.
But, you know, but then what is the motivation? Truly, what are you after? Because there are some guys that absolutely don't care. They can be fine, and dumb as a box of rocks. And they could care less because they're only after their body.
Okay.
But if you truly, if you're trying to ascend beyond that, truly, and you're looking for conversation, someone that can stimulate your mind, conversation that's worthwhile and worth your time, it's going to go a little bit beyond that. And I'll be the first to say, my partner, both of us, we're not, I mean, physically, we need to do a lot of work. We need to get in the gym. We need to be in the gym, but we love each other, and, I mean, we have the same educational levels, same interests, and goals.
Okay.
And that transcends the physical.
Okay.
Our bodies.
Do you think that wisdom comes with age?
Oh, definitely. Okay. Most definitely it does. Because, you know, there was a point in time where I could care less what his personality was. Whatever my motivation was at the time.
But that also depends on what you're looking for. Because, I mean, if you're not looking for a relationship, then the physical is going to be all you care about.
Mm-hmm. What's important.
I mean,
but you have to be. You have to find. There's a line because you want to be attracted to the person. So there has to be some type of physical attraction. So I think there has to be an even balance between physical attraction and then personality.
There has to
because,
be
because you want to wake up, you know, satisfied looking at what you're looking at that early in the morning.
Right.
So I think it's somewhat important, but you have to find an even balance. And I think that balance comes with time and wisdom. You learn to have that balance. And it's very important that whatever shape you're in, physically or whatever, that you be well-groomed, that you take the best care of yourself that you possibly can. And you present to people what the best that you have to offer. And it's something that you do on a regular basis. You just don't jump cute and pretty just to impress,
right?
But it's something that you really want to do by yourself, whether people are looking
or
not.
Consistent,
okay.
Makes sense to me.
I'm consistently above.
So we are going to your mother, Miss. I'm not going to say her name on the air, but your mother and my mother are, I think they're very similar. I really would like for them to meet one day, and. Can I mention that about Valenti?
Okay.
And your brother, and so I have brothers too that are gay. As far as that is concerned, do you think you and your brother being gay, do you think that has to do with nature or nurturing?
I have to say nurturing.
Are you for real?
I really think so. I think it has a lot to do with that.
Okay, now you're setting the gay rights movement back. Talking about this nurturing thing, you must be a Republican.
I really think so in our case.
You think
could
so?
Could it be incidental? I don't know. I just think with our upbringing, and there were so many, such a strong presence of women in our family, all of our aunts and grandmother and mother, single mother,
mm-hmm.
I really think it had something to do with that. I'm certainly not blaming her at all. I mean, it's nothing like that. But I really think it had to do with her upbringing and our environment.
For real? Mm-hmm. So do you think had there been as strong or stronger male role model in the home that you would be straight? You would be heterosexual?
No,
I can't imagine.
Probably not in my case.
So
Maybe my brother might have had a chance.
So you actually believe
I'm torn. I'm torn because I've always known, but ever since I was a child.
But is it? But when you say nurture, are you really meaning more the mannerisms?
Oh, did I miss the topic? That's what I was thinking about.
Oh, no. I'm talking about your sexuality. Oh. Do you think that's nurturing or because of nature?
Oh, I really think I've always known since I was a child. It wasn't a choice. I truly think it was nature. I'm sorry. I thought you meant the household.
But you're talking about as far as mannerisms and things may be concerned. That has more to do with nurturing.
Your influence. Okay. If you're around a bunch of women, why would it not be... Why would you not think that you wouldn't pick up those characteristics?
Okay. So what about you, Fred? Do you think it's nature or nurturing?
I think it's nature.
Okay.
Because I mean, I think, you know, as all of us have gone through the struggle of accepting, because that's what you really have to do is accept instead of having to be in a situation where it's like I've got to live this life to fit what someone else says I should be or should not be. You know, that's for the bird. So once you finally go through that period of acceptance, then that's when your life really begins living. But I'm sure we've all tried, especially our particular generation.
Tried
to not act out on our feelings or to act out on our emotions.
I always did.
Well, I mean, a lot of that, you know, I'm sure you have. I mean, you know, but...
You lost it, baby.
In other words, none of us have really. I mean, we know we did not choose.
Yeah,
we know we did not choose this, and we have thought about ways to not do it.
Yeah,
but then that becomes denying oneself and denying one's happiness.
Because I think one of the saddest things is seeing someone in their 40s into their 50s still struggling with their sexuality, still hiding and trying to fool people. Mm-hmm. And I tell people all the time, if you act like you are ashamed of your sexuality, people are going to treat you like you're supposed to be ashamed of your sexuality. And there are going to have to be soldiers in the fight to bring, especially in the black community, to bring this to the forefront, to put it in people's faces. And a lot of times people have issues with very flamboyant gay men, over the top. However, if it had not been for those men, because they are men, I don't care what they wear, their style of clothes, how they do their hair, how they dress up, had it not been for those men putting themselves on the line for ridicule and for jokes and being talked about, had they not put that out there, we would still be in the dark ages. We couldn't be sitting here, three black gay men talking on the radio, giving our names. We would not do that. So you have to give credit to those guys who are over the top, because it does take all kinds. Because there are DL men who are right now enjoying some of the benefits that out very over the top gay men, you know, some of the privileges that they've afforded DL men, all of us, you know, all of the stuff that they had to take on their backs. Because I can't imagine in 1950 being a black gay male in America
being out,
and then trying to assimilate into the black community and then wanting to be who you are. It just would not have happened.
But even after all this time, I think what amazes me is that people are still the stigma is there. If you're gay, you're over the top, you're flamboyant, and people are going to get, you know, it's not all about that. There's different degrees of masculinity, and I think that's why so many men are on the DL, because they're so afraid to be associated with that. They won't call themselves gay. They don't consider themselves to be gay. They could be with a man, but they're not gay. I don't even think they consider themselves to be bisexual.
But if you have blatant feminine tendencies and you are fighting a label, when,
and that's all, is a label.
Right,
it's just a label.
When you see things to the contrary based upon someone's actions, and in fact we were just talking about somebody today that could fit in that description, you know, I mean, you can only hide behind that for so long. I mean, but it is just a label. It doesn't really matter.
And society should not, not just society, your family, people that are supposed to love you should not have that much power over your life to mm-hmm. dictate how you feel about yourself, who you should be naturally okay. attracted to. People should not have that much power over you, and I think it's sad and it's unfortunate, like you said, the people that we see in their older men okay. that are still, you know, hiding or pretending and covering up. I couldn't live my life that way. I think this generation now, certainly folks our age and a little younger, it's a different game.
It's totally different
They're
game.
Not being confined and defined.
Exactly.
It's not happening.
It is so crazy. Chris, can we go to another Christmas song before we continue?
No.
Oh, no. Okay. Well, that took care of that. What we were trying to listen to was Yolanda Adams' It Came Upon a Midnight Clear.
Let me figure out where I stuck her.
That's not good.
Sticker.
You know, and I have to say, the KPFT family has been absolutely wonderful.
Oh, they have.
To me, Jimmy, Chris, everybody has been absolutely wonderful.
Okay.
I love them tremendously.
He can't hear you, so I'll
you relate that to him. Thank you.
It's about time something gets stroked around here. Damn it, if it's only the
Nobody
ego.
Said that.
All right, yeah, I do have it queued up.
Thank you.
Your best impression of a Supreme?
Stop.
I am older than the Supremes, thank you very little.
He's a dream girl.
On that note, let there be music.
That glorious song of old, from angels bending near the earth to touch their hearts of gold. Peace on earth, goodwill to men, from heaven's all gracious
There we go.
Thank you for joining us. Chris just tried to tell the most god-awful joke. I don't know what that was. Chris, what was that?
What? About standard for this place.
if you got a quote unquote straight man,
uh-huh,
who goes out and seeks other men, that's the down low.
Okay.
What happens if you have a gay man that goes out and starts looking for women?
Oh,
is that the up high?
No, that's just plain old confused. That's a junky marinated mess is what that is. That's all that is. I have had an absolutely wonderful time this morning with our guests and with everyone in the control booth. We're going to do one last little thing. Self-esteem, how well-centered is one's sense of self? Self-esteem is extremely important. It is the center. It is the crux of your existence. If you do not have self-esteem, you're liable to fall for anything. And it actually goes back to the hunger bastard will eat anything. Self-esteem is the most important attribute. It is the most important thing that you should develop about yourself. And self-esteem should be independent of everything and everyone around you. It is internal, and you need to feed it and grow it with internal things. You need to do things for yourself that lifts you up, and that will reflect outwardly to other people. Any last final comments before we sign off from Roderick or Fred? I certainly do thank you all, and to let you know that I love you, and I don't know where my life would be without you in my life. I met Roderick, what, over how many years ago now?
Oh, almost 6 years ago.
6 years ago. Mm-hmm. And we were at Dallas Black Pride, and Roderick was drunk as hell.
Imagine
and
that.
Walked over to me and said, "What's wrong with you? You're not having a good time, are you?" And we've been friends ever since. So I certainly thank him for his boldness and assertiveness for coming over to me. The friendship has been absolutely invaluable. And through that friendship, I met Fred. And Fred is an absolute wonder. And if something ever goes down in my life where I need a fighting hand, I want Fred on my side, because Fred is a ride or die chick. So, and to everyone that's participated with KPFT Black on Black and all of the other after hour programs, I want to thank you for your participation and your dedication. This has been an absolutely banner year for me, absolutely wonderful and great. So I thank you from the bottom of my heart, from Black on Black, and to Dion, wherever you are. You were supposed to show up tonight. I'm not disappointed, but I love you. I certainly congratulate you on your graduation. Dr. Dion, I'm sorry. Let me take that back. Dr. Dion Redmond. She is an absolute wonder. I love her, and we'll certainly try to have her on the first show of the new year next month. So until 2007, this is Christopher Evans, your Black on Black host, bidding you wonderful, happy holidays, an abundant new year.
Welcome to the colored section. Welcome to the Negro League. Sign your name on a blacklist and know this. It's American history. See what it is to be blackmailed.
Blackmailed.
See a real life conspiracy. Sign your name on a blacklist. And all this, it's American history.
All right, let's get a couple more Christmas tunes in before we go to the round table. Double shot here, the theme, Christmas at the Bathhouse. Get ready.
This is our favorite time of the year. Voices ring out with holiday cheer. So many songs, so what are we to do? Dear Mr. Mathis.
Yes, Miss M?
Let's sing one or two.
That would be divine.
You know, Johnny, you're the king of Christmas. Why don't you start the song?
I can't.
Why not?
Because it's in your key.
Sleigh bells ring. Are you listening? In the lane, snow is glistening. A beautiful.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful.
so delightful. And since we've no place to go,
nowhere to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
In the meadow we can build a snowman.
Oh man.
Then pretend that he is Parson Brown.
We'll say I am married, we'll say no man.
So man, but you can do the job when you're in town.
When we finally kiss goodnight,
how I'll hate going out in the storm.
I know, but if you really hold me tight, all the way home I'll be warm.
Sugar
by the fire.
That was quite boring.
Oh, you should talk. Ring, 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 ring. Hello. Hey, Pot, it's the kettle. He wants to call you something. Yeah, and so, yeah, your, some of your selections you've chosen over the years, months.
Well.
Years.
I mean, you started off great, then you just went downhill from there.
Thank you.
I mean, can't you just feel the love in the room?
This is KPFT. After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude. Listener sponsored, commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast. KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM. Houston, 89.5 Galveston. And always the World Wide Web at kpft.org. And that was our triple shot tribute to Christmas at the Bathhouse. We started off with Bette Midler with Johnny Mathis.
Mm-hmm.
Singing White Christmas.
A fag hag and a queer.
And then we did Elton John with Step Into Christmas.
What's he got to do with bathhouses?
Didn't he play piano for...
No, Barry Manilow played piano for Bette Midler.
I'm sorry, I goofed up then.
Oh!
Somebody cancel the archive.
As an aside here, the queerest Christmas show ever was on last night.
Okay.
It's a wonderful...
Clay Aiken with special guest Barry Manilow.
Oh, the DNA was flying there. What was the thing Clay Aiken was on recently that somebody was singing a song and he came out and scared the hell out of him? I was watching VH1's...
What? They saw his hair?
No, it was something on VH1 that was doing the best year ever. And some guy was singing... This Nelly little thing was up there singing.
And it wasn't Clay Aiken.
And Clay Aiken came out. I mean, this guy made Clay Aiken look butch.
Ooh.
I mean, that's saying something.
I had to put a fire extinguisher to my TV.
It was flaming.
I haven't seen that much flames on my TV since opening a Bonanza. Burger King commercial. L.A. riots.
Smokey the Bear.
Yeah.
Wow.
And he came out, and the guy who was singing was just, so I have to find out what that was.
Some this thing had an Nelly attack right there on stage. Huh?
And the final song was Wham! Last Christmas.
Well, that's not bathhouse. That's a tea room.
Tea room, man.
Six of one, half dozen of the other.
Well, you usually don't take a shower in a public restroom.
Golden.
Right, okay.
It's cottaging.
Yes.
Cottaging.
If you're in England, it's cottaging.
Well, that's what he was doing, you know. Cottaging, then he went a little romp in the woods there with a lorry driver.
What do you know?
Jolly good fun. I'm sorry. I turned on Channel 8 earlier tonight and I watched Are You Being Served?
Oh. Well, then that's.
And then after that, I don't know what it was, but Harry Potter grew up on this one show they had there.
Oh,
that reminds me. I still got to get tickets to go to London in March.
For what?
Daniel Radcliffe, who plays Harry Potter, is starring in Equus.
Yes. Yes. Now that would be a show to see. Because he would spend a large amount of time naked.
And he intends to. So we get to see Harry Potter's wand.
Well,
has the Family Research Council got enough evidence against us yet, or should we go on?
Yeah, let's go on.
See his phoenix feathers.
You know, I love finding weird stuff. And...
All you have to do is walk in the doors
walk
at 419
door
London.
Show and East Saturday night.
Hell yeah, sometimes it's not just they're here, I bring them along. But you gotta love when the letter from a high school principal includes the phrase, there's no tactful way to give you this information.
Ooh.
It's not necessarily gay, but it's just twisted. Dear Wheaton North Parent. Now, first time I ever read this letter.
Wheaton North Parent?
Yeah, to the parents of students to the parents of students from Wheaton North High School in Illinois.
Oh,
parents. This is a bulk letter that went out.
Oh, I see.
And, you know, the first time I looked at it, I go, you know, it's not on letterhead from the school. You know, I think it looked fake.
Yeah.
But
the CBS station in Chicago covered the story as well. So apparently there's some legitimacy to it.
What, just because CBS said it?
No, but, you know, because it was on television as well. A very unusual and disgusting incident recently occurred at Wheaton North High School. Because of the potential impact on other students, it most certainly will be the subject of a conversation among students.
Mm.
I want you to be aware of the facts surrounding this issue. There's no tactful way to give you this information, so I'll explain it as it occurred. During the D lunch period on December 6th, 2007. Wait a minute. Lunch period on December 6th, 2007.
Oh.
I just found a typo. A male student removed a ranch salad dressing container from the student commons, went into the boys' restroom, ejaculated into the bottle, and then returned the container to the condiment table. It is unclear whether anyone subsequently used the salad dressing prior to its normal cleaning by food service personnel. We became aware of this incident when several students reported it to the dean's office on the afternoon of Tuesday, December 12th. Took them a week. The identified student was questioned extensively and later admitted his action. He's been appropriately disciplined, and the matter is now being handled by the Wheaton Police Department. It's just so funny to send out a letter that has that kind of thing there. Hmm. I am truly sorry for any stress this may cause you or your student. Again, please know we will contact you immediately if there's any need for medical action for any Wheaton North student.
Oh, give me a break.
They've required that the student...
What's a little cum among friends?
Well, they're getting him tested for STDs. And they're recommending all the students get tested for STD.
Oh, like, now, you know, like it could survive in salad dressing.
Well, you know, it gives, you know, it's just extra creamy ranch dressing.
Just the way I like it.
Or, you know, this is what happens when you get a salad at Brokeback Mountain.
Ooh.
And it does give a whole new meaning to a tossed salad.
Yes, it does.
Well,
a third meaning to the term toss salad.
So, yeah. You know, that was just a little twisted thing. And, you know, what I love about it is when you know, normally I get the kind of twisted stories like this from the Daily Rotten.
Yes.
I first saw it on the front page of the Drudge Report.
Ooh.
So, it was a very interesting thing. It's... I don't know, and it was a female principal that had to send out that letter. Talking about that naughty stuff.
That reminds me of something that happened in high school.
Oh?
Oh, do tell.
Oh.
Get him close to the microphone for this one, kiddies.
On the headings of things people have to apologize for.
Oh, and he's going into the other room. This is a big deal.
Oh. Standing up in my present condition is not...
Wine.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, the leg problems and shit.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah. All that sheesh.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So who came into what?
So, no. No. It was... They invited this guy to come to our school.
Mm.
And... in an assembly. Apparently, the subject was... all the questions a teenager would want to ask about sex, relationships, things like this.
Mm-hmm. And he was supposedly an expert on the subject?
He was supposedly an expert on the subject. And he got... and... people, teenagers being who they are.
Yes. Test their boundaries.
Asked all kinds of questions. All kinds of questions. And I, being a happy little queer teenager, had one. Now, of course, none of these questions were signed as to whose name was asking the question and everything. And I asked, so what's wrong with being gay?
Okay.
Seemed like a perfectly reasonable question for a queer teenager to ask.
Yes.
And he goes, there's absolutely nothing wrong with being gay. It's just another natural part of life in general.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Okay. So this, and he answers, and eventually the assembly ends.
Mm-hmm.
Now, apparently, this whole episode
he was, I mean, because he was coming off sort of as the male version of Dr. Ruth Westheimer as far as the staff and, you know, upper management of mm-hmm. the school was concerned. Mm-hmm. So they absolutely felt like the next day they had to make an announcement over the PA system apologizing for their guest. Apologizing for everything, for all the sexual references and the opinions that he gave on the subject of being a sexual human being.
Well, what the hell did they invite him there for?
That's what the heck I'm asking. 20 years later, I'm still asking that question. The man...
That's what you get for asking a question like that.
Yeah.
My dad, you know, tells the story when he was back in a young child and was in one of the in a Catholic school. And they for some reason, I guess they had a sex question. You got a chance to write in question. You gave it to the nun. And I believe the question he asked is, why does my penis get red when I play with it?
Oh.
And she wasn't able to answer it for him.
Well, if somebody's...
You better put on your headphones because he's planning on talking to you.
Oh.
Okay, well...
So does your penis get red when you play with it?
Me?
Yes.
Oh, God, no.
Why?
I do believe it's a little harder to see the color change. I'm sorry. I'm being honest again. I know that's against policy around here sometimes. I get in trouble for being too honest.
No, I can't see it change because I'm like one color.
Yeah.
Well, you know, let Jimmy go in and take a closer look.
Wait a minute. I've seen people of color without their clothes on. So it's not all one color.
No, it isn't. No, it is not.
Especially not if they've still got their prepuce.
Oh. Oh, quit using the big words.
Oh.
Speaking of those sorts
Boy,
of things.
They teach you big words in nursing school, don't they?
Yes, they do.
I have no idea what that word means.
In this week in gay history.
Oh, yeah, what?
December 15th, 1952. Fashion photographer George Jurgensen has a Danish surgeon remove his various naughty bits
what?
In the world's first sex change operation.
They didn't remove them. They inverted them.
I know, yeah. But this is the Daily Rot, and they got to get cutesy about it.
Oh.
George emerges in New York as cabaret actress Christine Jorgensen.
Mm-hmm.
Christine Jorgensen?
Yes.
I'm quite sure that nobody's really going to make the distinction once you split something like a banana. And,
and remove the insides.
And then, you know...
Yes. Turn Convert things. It. Yes.
I really don't think there's a lot of people, even who have had the surgery, who are going to make
because
a big distinction.
The outside of your penis becomes the inside of your vagina.
With you.
Yeah.
So you better have a nice long one. Or, actually, what they're doing these days is because if you've been on hormone therapy for any length of time, your penis shrivels and does turn darker. Mm-hmm. And so they take scrotal tissue to deepen the new vagina. Of course, they have to
stretch
and remove the hair. First.
Oh, come on. This is a built-in French tickler. On that note, should we go to some music?
I think we might better. Anyway, this is Dave Hall with one of my favorite Christmas carols.
That's only if I push the right button.
Which rarely happens around here.
Would be the only button that would work.
You want to clean your glasses off there, Gramps?
What's on number two? What's in the...
I put something else in this.
Oh, I missed that. But
obviously.
Dave Hall.
Liza, it's cold outside.
I've got to go away.
Liza, it's cold outside.
Oh, this evening has been...
Been hoping that you'd drop
so
in.
So very nice.
I'll hold your hands there just like
a sister will be suspicious.
Gosh, your lips look delicious.
My brother will be there at the door.
Waves upon a tropical shore.
My maiden aunt's mind is vicious.
Gosh, your lips are delicious.
Or maybe just a cigarette more.
Never such a blizzard.
The neighbors might
think. But Liza, it's bad out there.
Say, what's in this drink?
No cabs to be had out there.
I wish that I knew.
Your eyes are like stars. Your hair looks swell.
I'd like to say no, no, no,
I'm moving closer.
At least I'm gonna say that I tried.
What's the sense of hurting my pride?
I really can't say.
Liza, don't hold tight. Ah, but it's cold.
I mean, it's fine. You know, I want you to stay. You want to do it. That's fine. Conversation over. I'll see you tomorrow.
Just let me back in.
Look,
I just
want
to talk to you for a minute.
Come on in.
Oh,
Liza,
Alan.
Liza, Liza.
I simply must go.
But it's your apartment.
The answer is no.
Be pacing the floor.
Listen to the fireplace.
So really, I better
scurry. Beautiful, please.
Or maybe just a half a drink more.
Put some records on while
I've got to get home.
But maybe you freeze out there.
Liza, lend me a coat.
Helen, it's up to your knees out there.
You've really been grand.
I feel when you touch my
back,
hand.
Don't you see? Be plenty implied.
If you caught pneumonia and died,
stay.
Get over it, baby.
But it's cold.
Oh, baby, it's so cold.
Oh,
cold. Oh, so cold.
Outside.
Oh, so cold. Outside.
Stop showing off.
I'm not showing off. I was just trying to give a little
everyone
bounce.
Knows you're gonna say it.
You're a mean one, Mr. Grimm. You really are a heel. You're as cuddly as a cactus, as charming as an eel, Mr. Grinch. You're a really bad banana with a greasy black peel. You're a monster, Mr. Grimm. Jaws an empty hole. Your brain is full of spiders. You have got to get your soul, Mr. Grinch. I wouldn't touch you with a 39 and a half foot pole. You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch. You're a monster, Mr. Grinch. You're a vile one, Mr. Grinch.
soul is an appalling dump heap overflowing with the most disgraceful assortment of deplorable rubbish imaginable, mangled in tangled up knots. You're a bar one with the grits. You have termites in your smile. You have all the tender sweetness of a seasoned crocodile with the grits. You know, given the choice between the two, I'd take the seasick crocodile. You know, as he ate me, Mr. Grinch, with a super nauseous nose, you're a crooked turkey jerky and you drive a crooked horse, Mr. Grinch. You're a three-decker sauerkraut and toadstool sandwich with arsenic sauce. That best describe you are as follows, and I quote, stink, stank, stunk.
That was Temptress.
Ah.
You know, when it comes to Christmas songs, you have to go with a transvestite dominatrix singing punk music.
Yeah, that's true.
Nothing says the holidays like a transvestite dominatrix singing punk versions of Christmas songs.
Yay.
Hit him again.
And Jimmy is speechless.
And by the way, to that person who just called us.
Yes.
Boy, when are we going to actually see your physical face?
Yeah. Hey, Big R. Where the hell you been?
When are we going to see your pretty blonde head again?
Ooh, yeah.
I know where I'd like to see your pretty blonde head, but that's a home.
Between your legs.
Yeah, something.
And before that was... We're still debating which one's the fag and which one's the fag hag. Why isn't Minnelli and Allen coming? Maybe it's cold outside.
And before that...
Oh, darn, the CD scratched.
My favorite thing that Alan Cummings was ever in was the X-Men.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. He's blue, he's furry, and he's covered in body markings, which are very much like tattoos. These are all very good things.
I see.
I have yet to see him in that.
Although it does give a new meaning to the phrase blue balls. Anyhow. And
they didn't show that part.
No. His one, yeah. That's the triple X-Men. You know, there's a video called that.
Oh, boy.
There is a video called that.
Oh,
you
yeah.
You should see the cover.
I'll bet.
Anyhow, it's hysterical.
That's something I want to do sometime, is go to an adult video store and go through the gay section and write down the titles to some of them that are just, yeah.
I've seen the titles that are plays
Shaving Ryan's
on,
Privates.
Exactly.
I've
Shaving
seen that one.
Ryan's Privates. SS Gigantic. There was Triple X Men.
I do not recommend
Moan as a instead of Scream.
Romeo and Julian.
Oh, Romeo and Julian.
That was trash.
That was a tragedy.
Yeah, it was. Travesty.
Travesty.
Oh my God! When you combining the two things that gay men like most, musicals and pornography. Who thought that up? That's not peanut butter and chocolate.
I don't know. I can't
Blair
see
Witch
both of them at the same time.
Well, there was the bear.
What? I can't hear him.
Who, me?
Can't hear who? Well, he's sitting a yard away from the microphone. Get up there and swallow it.
The bear.
Well,
I have problems with that.
And what about the microphone?
You've heard of the Blair Witch Project.
Yes,
it was the Bear
Bitch Project?
No. Starts with a D. Oh. It's a short for Richard.
Gotcha.
There's got to be some gay artist.
Oh, God, that was a god-awful movie. Anyhow.
Yeah, I'm just looking at some of these titles. I'm seeing O Tannenbaum.
Yes.
I'm going, some gay artist has got to have done a song called O Tight Bottom. Oh, tight bottom.
Or the spanking version. Oh, tan your bum.
Uh,
No.
There are
no.
nights I wonder why we're still on the air.
Full of Aussie boys.
And those 19 years and you're still... and he's still wondering.
Yeah.
We're still on the air because nobody... Never mind.
A report came out.
Oh, God.
People who can write with both their left and right hands are more likely to be bisexual.
What?
Yes.
You don't say.
I thought everybody knew that. For years, scientists have been fascinated by left-handed people, and a number of studies have suggested that southpaws are more likely to be homosexual. And I have found that throughout my life to be true. It is amazing if you get a crowd of gay people together how high the percentage are of left-handed.
So what you're saying? So what you
okay? Raise your hands.
Yeah.
How many? I can't see the hands.
I'm right.
Raise your hand. Which one you're?
Oh, I use my right.
Right-hander.
You're in the minority.
I'm more interested.
We're in the.
You remember, we're working with a limited sample here.
That's true. However,
honey, we are always working with a limited sample.
But really, in the large population, left-handed people are only about 10 or 15%.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And how many were here? Three out of...
One, two, three, four.
Wait, stop moving, I can't count.
There's eight of us here, and one of us was. You're the only lefty.
Who was lefty?
Jimmy.
You raised your hand.
My right hand. Everyone raised the hand that you raised.
Oh. Oh. I'm the only left-handed person
You're
in the room.
You're the only left-handed mm-hmm. person in the room.
That is a rarity.
Yeah, you really don't. My handwriting's bad enough with my right hand. You don't want to see what I do with my left.
Wow.
No.
Depends on what you're...
Please. You must be destroyed.
I got a cute story with this. Double entendre like that. Okay.
I have a twin story when he's done.
Everyone here knows I got a two-year-old nephew.
Mm-hmm.
And he loves basically using me as a moonwalk. Just jumping on me, climbing, doing all this stuff. So last week, he was in there playing around and all that, and his mother looks over and says, I'm going to get Chris a shirt that says Mount Chris. My other sister-in-law, she got it immediately. And my sister's going, oh, my God, I didn't mean it like that. I go, please advertise.
He would never take that off. Do you
never.
Know that?
That thing would wear out on his body.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Maybe I'll get that on the... get a vest.
So I met a... You know, we have our favorite twin, you know, Travis.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, who's got a straight brother.
Mm-hmm.
Allegedly.
Well, whatever.
Well.
Anyhow.
You would think it was just the opposite from looking at them.
Yesterday, I actually met the twin of another friend of mine.
Yeah.
The identical twin of another friend of mine, who's just as square as his brother.
Oh.
You know, because the statistics say 52% of identical twins, where one is gay, the other one is.
Okay.
And so it was really good. And I walked up to this guy and I'm going, what happened to your hair? And it's like, oh, that's my brother. And I'm like, and mind you, this was on the patio at Hollywood.
Oh.
And he's like, and yeah, he's just as queer as his brother. And I'm like, yeah, and it's like, and he said something to the effect of, people are still wondering which one of them is the evil twin.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I've met your brother. I know your brother better than I know you. I've only known you for 5 minutes, and I still know your brother's the evil one.
I see.
It's your brother that's the evil twin. Yes, they're cute. Well, they would both be blonde if the other brother had hair. The one I met last night has a buzz cut in comparison to his brother, who sort of has this
flat top.
Flat blonde thing going on here.
Ugh. You need to continue your reputation of bringing the strays along here to the show.
Yes, one of these nights I'm going to have to get these two in the same place at the same time, and
We certainly hope for your luck, you know.
Yeah.
Just give me a call. I'll come pick up. Back piece for me.
I'll have to talk to them about that. That could be an interesting conversation.
Let's do a gay twins show.
It's bad.
Men and boys in rear.
It's a sign in the store.
Boy, do you really know how to pick the headlines. parking in the rear. Anyhow.
Now, my brother's still on a search there to have a sign that says parking in the rear. He thinks he can find it in the Montrose. They're smart. They paint it on the side of the buildings because they don't get stolen.
Exactly.
Yeah. I noticed in local things, I noticed that there is once again still a tree being put atop Mary's.
Yes.
Naturally. Yes.
Yes.
I'm like with somewhat less of the fanfare than there used to be.
That's okay. There's so much less of a tree there too.
Exactly. Yeah, I miss the days of the fabulous decoration.
Yeah, when and Mary's tree had about 5,000 lights on it.
5,000 lights, and the window was painted.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I remember the guy who used to do that. He's long since moved on to somewhere.
Yeah, but they have other window painters.
I mean, the town is full of queer people. There's got to be one guy who knows how to grease paint a window
with
decoration.
Yeah, one would think.
There's got to be one queer out there who knows how to decorate a window.
Evidently, they're all using grease for some other purpose.
Yeah. It's bad enough. It is bad enough, and it still makes me cringe every time I see the wall where there used to be a picture.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, I really hate that. And of course, you can buy a copy of it.
Yeah, and then repaint the building with this picture where it's supposed to be.
I know.
And what was the story about why it was?
Because he's an idiot?
No reason was given.
Ah.
Except that they're building a kind of an office building next to Mary's. Oh, yes. Where the parking lot will be history in a few months.
Oh, that explains the mess that they're making.
Yes.
Oh, wait a minute. If there's no parking lot, there's not likely to be much of a Mary's pretty soon.
And that thought has occurred to a lot of people also.
Mm-hmm. It's an institution, though.
To use a sci-fi term for an English curse word, since I can't say the English curse word on American.
Oh, okay.
English, not English. English.
Gotcha.
They really need to go frell themselves.
Gotcha.
Because I'm. I am not averse to change.
Mm-hmm.
I am averse to change, which leaves behind none of the history of a place.
Well,
The history of a place to the ground without.
Why isn't there a group who gets together and decides, for good reason, that Mary's should be an historical building?
And it should be, considering how long it's been around.
And not
how
only
long,
that, but considering how many people are buried in the backyard.
buried in the backyard?
Well, they're ashes anyway.
Oh, wow. Huh. Well, if you're going to be buried somewhere.
If you go into the very back of Mary's.
Mm-hmm. I've been there.
There are plants all along the fence. Every plant represents someone who had a memorial service, and their ashes are there.
See, somebody needs to do something about that. Somebody needs to raise some hell about that. Because you shouldn't pave over a place where somebody's ashes are buried.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I grant you, I mean, historically speaking, everything that's... Somebody has died everywhere on this planet, so, you know...
Yeah, you can't bury it, yeah.
But when a place is specifically, and you know it is, specifically doled out, you know, plotted out that somebody has been buried there, even if they are ashes, that's still somebody's remains.
Well, there are rumors that actual remains may be back there, too, because if you will remember, in the very, very early days of AIDS, funeral homes would not accept AIDS deaths. And that is why
um,
Cremation became so popular in the gay community. That was the alternative. And then what to do with the ashes? Mm. And a lot of people decided they wanted their ashes interred in Mary's backyard.
Yeah.
Or at least a part of them.
It's amazing to me. I mean...
And I think maybe
like a thousand years
maybe
ago,
because of health regulations or something, there are no markers, but in lieu of a marker, something was planted. And
which seems appropriate since so many people planted with something.
Planted or had a plant.
Yeah. Got caught with a plant on them. Or plant materials, yes.
What? No.
Oh. No. But not even along, not only along,
you know,
around the fence, but just this big island in the middle, you know, with plant life.
Yes.
Yes.
I mean, because...
Yes.
The English, oddly enough, the I watch way too much Britcom on PBS because I believe the English term for getting, one of the English terms for getting is getting potted. appropriate for...
Indeed it would be.
oh my God, we made...
Is this the round table? By the way,
Chris, don't look at me. I didn't do anything.
I thought I heard something, and apparently I didn't.
Not that I heard it. I'm sitting right next to him, so
speechless.
But I don't know. Earlier when they were singing, when I was playing Ave Maria, I swore she said Three Stooges in the middle of it. So.
Who was singing?
I don't know.
If it was Bette Midler,
it could have been. Yeah.
No, it was the music that Christopher brought in.
Have you checked the dosages on your drugs lately?
No.
What dosage, he says.
Dosage? There's a dosage? You're supposed to measure this stuff?
My dealer didn't give me a sippy cup size.
Oh, well.
I actually, you know, back on the marriage thing for
Jim, yes.
I actually remember going to one of their actual tree lighting things. You remember when they...
Yeah. Oh, I've been to many.
There was like, and people, and there was that one git who I can't stand, who used to run the street fest... John, whatever.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
John.
There's only one?
See, Mr. Flores.
This is the thing. I loved the Street Fest.
Mm-hmm.
Him, I met him.
You weren't impressed.
I wasn't impressed.
That, maybe that's why he doesn't live here anymore. So many people felt like you.
He kind of reminded me of Pond Scum, only that would be giving Pond Scum a good... Anyhow. No, but I mean, we used to... I remember going to that. I also remember him trying to organize a Christmas carol thing that night.
Mm-hmm.
But there was something about it. There was something about... On some level, it was... I guess because of the whole AIDS thing or whatnot. Some part of that celebration still seemed to be...
Appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed like we were also commemorating a lot of lives that night, too, as part of the whole...
But they had it earlier. They had it more at the beginning of the month.
Yeah.
You know, around World AIDS Day.
Yeah. And it was just... And, you know, on some level, it was there was something still very special about that. So, and like I said, I'm not averse to change. It's just... It's sad to see some traditions just die because people don't feel like they're important anymore. Or, I mean, you heard my rant about last week about the parade and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I'm like, oh, great, let's move it down there. That makes so much sense. Let's see how much... All we're doing is snarling up traffic down Westheimer for a few blocks. You know, let's see how much traffic we can snarl up downtown for 4 hours.
Well, one more thing to put onto that with the Pride Parade is I remember last year, didn't the Comets play on the same night as the Gay Pride Parade?
I don't recall.
Mm-hmm. I believe so.
Yeah.
And I also went back and checked. The Houston Astros also played.
Mm-hmm.
Busy night
on
downtown.
The night of
the parade.
Of the parade. And where they're planning on, where they're saying they want to take the parade is starting at the George R. Brown, where all the other parades start and end.
And the George R. Brown sits right in the middle of Minute Maid Park and Toyota Center.
Yeah.
So,
brilliant.
You know,
yeah.
That's one thing to
brilliant.
Think about is, you know, do you think Major League Baseball is going to say, oh, no, we'll move the Astros to, they'll play an away game that day so the gays can have their parade.
Yeah, right.
To quote another English phrase, brilliant, bloody brilliant.
I think it's all a plot from the parking lobbyists because they can make a lot of money if it's moved downtown.
You can only make a lot of money if you can get the people to show up.
Well, that's another point.
Or you could rebel and just take the train.
Yeah, there you go. Which a friend of mine would. He doesn't own a car, so he'd take the train just to see the parade.
Yeah.
He would. He's just like that.
But I don't know that I'd continue being in the parade if it was downtown.
I suppose I'd be in the parade no matter where it was. I just prefer it to be where it belongs.
Yeah.
Now, you know what? We can do just like the same like the people did with the Westheimer Street Fest when they got moved over to the mainstream area.
Awesome.
Say to hell with them and just show up in where we want to show up.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Take over what we want to take over.
Mm-hmm.
There's always a possibility.
And, you know, when we get out in the streets and all that, hey, you know what? Houston will finally get some coverage of their gay pride parade because we'll have the alternative one going down Westheimer.
Do
the reality, though, of that is that the Montrose is becoming less gay every day for a lot of reasons. Not only because we're being priced out of the neighborhood, but because more people are coming out of the closet and they can live anywhere. And they would rather live in a suburban area or a near suburban area, but not in the Montrose where it's a bit pricier.
Well, if that's
and more congested.
I understand.
If that's the case, then if they want to use that argument for, you know, why to move the Pride Parade, then fine. Then I guess they're going to need to go out to the next big enclave of the gay community that's in suburbia. And move out to Jersey Village and do the Pride Parade. But if you're going to move it to downtown, because, you know, the gays don't live in the Montrose anymore, and, you know, the gay youth don't understand how old the parade in the Montrose. You know.
No, what gay youth doesn't understand is
why we have a parade.
Why we have it at the end of June.
At the end of June, and why, you know, why we keep it in the bar district. You know.
Because that's the other point that they're trying to do, is change it to fall.
They want to forget the thing of that.
Right.
You know, if I think if you did a poll of Hispanic students and they couldn't tell you the reason behind Cinco de Mayo or Fiestas Patrias,
mm-hmm.
do you think they'd be moving those parades?
No.
Yeah. Do you think if you started polling African-American kids and they didn't understand the actual work of Martin Luther King, would we be moving the one or two or three dozen parades that we have because they can't get the act together?
Or moving Juneteenth celebrations to November?
Let's move that's it. Let's start that campaign. Let's move Juneteenth.
That would be fun.
Yeah. Let's move that to November 10th.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the same ring, asinine thoughts.
Big Mike has called. He would like to be on there.
Who? Too bad we didn't ask him.
Who?
Big Roy.
Hi, Roy. God.
Why the hell aren't you working?
You didn't put him on the air.
Why the hell aren't you working?
I am working.
Our nerves.
Yeah.
Oh, listen.
Love you.
One of the things that, last year I spoke with Denise Parker concerning rumors that I was hearing back then about moving the parade to downtown. And she told me that people in the area where we assemble, you know, up there on Woodhead and all that area.
Yeah.
We're complaining, some of the people, that they could not get to their homes because it was being blocked and they couldn't drive their car out or have, you know.
Oh.
I think it was just like maybe one or two people that were complaining.
Well, here's the thing. I say on that, if you are a resident in the Montrose area and you have a problem with the Pride Parade blocking you in and all that, please bring to us
you know, either the deed for when you bought your house or your first lease agreement and all that. And if you've moved to the Montrose in the past 35 years, shut the hell up. You knew what neighborhood you were getting into.
I agree totally. I agree totally.
I mean, you,
and the parade belongs in the Trose.
Of course it does.
I mean, like that idiot a couple of years ago who moved into the house and over there on Hyde Park and didn't realize what he was getting into. You know, when you're two blocks away from four gay bars and three blocks away from another three gay bars, and you can hear the flapping wind, the flap of the gay pride flag over the ampersand center there. Mm-hmm. If you don't realize you're surrounded by queers, you're an idiot.
Well, you know,
and,
like... so,
and the scariest part is that because you're straight, you have the potential to breed. And there should be forced sterilization and institutionalization for that person.
Well, unfortunately, because they're straight, their viewpoint carries more weight than ours. Which I think is a bunch of hooey.
Of course it is.
But it also makes the same amount of sense as these people who move right next to Intercontinental Airport and then scream bloody blue murder about the planes.
Mm-hmm.
Or who move next to a railroad track and complain about the train whistles at night.
It's exactly the same scenario,
like,
yes.
Oh, yes.
Except you can find deaf people to move in there. We just need to find straight but not narrow people to move into the tacky little townhomes that we have surrounding us. I mean,
that leads into the whole thing of why they moved here in the first place. How can you say, oh, this is a lovely, this looks like such a cool little neighborhood to move into. It's lovely. And then you move into something that's 2 years old. That's built out of
corrugated
tin or
cardboard
or, you know, and you could break with a tennis ball if you throw it at it. And you have...
I know.
What is really asinine about it is that the Montrose is a well-known neighborhood for gay activities.
As a matter of fact, Jimmy...
You don't even have to be from Houston to know...
To know that.
Yes.
Jimmy.
Heck, my when I first...
Hold on. Roy's trying to make a point.
Yeah, Roy.
Yeah, Jimmy, before the big AIDS epidemic came in, there was a book called The Joy of Gay Sex, which was published nationwide.
Yes.
And Montrose was listed as a bigger gay community than Frisco.
Yes, it was at the time. It was.
As a matter of fact, the apartment complex that I lived in before I moved over to Emerson, that big one that was right across the street from you,
mm-hmm.
That was in a couple of gay porn movies.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
As well as a straight movie.
Yeah. In the 50s and the 60s, the Montrose was more well known as a gay community than the Castro was in San Francisco.
Definitely.
Gosh.
Yes.
Wow. So, I mean, unfortunately, this is a thing that, you know, we can beat a dead horse about.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's one of those things that they're getting pressure. And, you know, like, you know, I had been thinking about this a little bit during the week. But, you know, like one of the things I want to move to the downtown so that we can have the big fireworks display afterwards. Okay. We're not getting enough revenue in to really cover a decent festival and the parade, and they want to put on a fireworks display.
Well, you know what, Chris?
But here's the
back
thing.
In the early 80s, we had fireworks display.
Yeah, but see, here's the thing.
We did.
At Spots Park, and we had the parade in the Trose.
Yeah.
Okay, but here's the thing. You have to remember that 2 weeks, no more than 2 weeks after the Gay Pride Parade, Houston has a huge fireworks display on the 4th of July. And there is no way in the world that we can get enough title sponsors in for the Gay Pride Parade to put on a fireworks display that's going to be anything in comparison to what goes on in sometimes a week. It's going to look so pathetic.
Yeah.
It's going to look like, you know, what kids are doing out in suburbia with fireworks stands, the pack of fireworks that they buy in the red trailers.
Mm.
So the idea of let's move it to downtown so we can do a fireworks display. If they're not going to get the revenue in.
And they're not going to be able to get the type of fireworks display that people are used to seeing at downtown.
Yeah, of course not. It's going to look tacky. It's going to look cheap. You think we're going to get a sponsor? I mean, the Thanksgiving Day Parade's gone through four different title sponsors in the past years.
There's enough sparks flying during our parade without a fireworks display.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it's an unfortunate thing. And, you know, we're going to be talking about it for a while because the meeting's in mid-January. When the Pride Committee is going to be holding community town halls on it to decide this. And it's part of this, you know, what are we going to do in this community? I'm going to a meeting on Monday about the community center. About what their future is going to be.
And what's happening with that?
Well, there's rumors going on around about the building being sold. And, you know, there's not a lot of people that want to stay there. The caucus just recently moved out. Out of the community center.
I've heard the rumor about the building
coming
down.
But they're still having their meetings.
They're still going to be holding their meetings there, but they're officing out of another facility. And, you know, it's one of those things. There's got to be a decision made of what's going to happen. And, you know, I'm, through my different affiliations, I think I'm the longest consecutive running tenant of the community center. Between Q Patrol and now Houston Big Men's, with that, so it's one of those things that is near to me of what needs to be done for this community, because, you know, and unfortunately the Pride Parade is about the only thing we get interest in from the community.
Yeah,
we don't have a community center, you know, we don't have the support of, you know, our shows here on KPFT that we have for our community, and it's a little sad. Well, we're wrapping up here. It's getting close to the end here.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'll bend you guys here next week.
Oh, please do.
Later, guys.
See ya.
Bye.
I think it's just sort of that we, on some level, yes, we have become so out there, and you know, it's become more and more accepted.
But where are we going?
But where are we going from that? It's like, what do we lose in the process of becoming so accepted? You know,
as the tradition of what we're doing in here kind of started. I don't know how the hell I started it. Melissa is going to sing us out with "Merry Christmas, War Is Over." This is After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude on KPFT Houston. Next week, it's even more like Christmas. Until then.
We've all played that game. What's the CD that you'd take to a desert island if you had only one choice?
Maybe it would be something by...
Get up, get on up. Get...
Or maybe it would be a disc from...
Well, let's play it now, but with a twist.
What radio station would you take to a desert island if you had only one choice?
There's only one answer to that question.
It's KPFT, of course.
We bring you great music, news, and information each day. You depend on us to keep you up to date.
And radio that's worth listening to is radio that's worth supporting. Over 90% of our funding comes from people just like you.
Without you, KPFT would be gone. So visit our website today, kpft.org, to become a member.
You're listening to Pacifica Radio, KPFT Houston.
Can I count it off? Go ahead. One, two, three, four.
In March of 2005, I went to Israel and Palestine with a group of Jewish physicians from the Jewish American Medical Project, which is a group whose aim is to facilitate peace in the Middle East through healthcare and counseling. I produced a documentary on my trip, which covered topics ranging from checkpoints on the wall to healthcare and the refusnik movement. I talked to people on both sides of this complex conflict, and the results were astounding. The documentary will now be airing a year later once again, except this time, I am now a physician myself, and I have also recorded a follow-up interview from the West Bank, which updates us on the current situation. Please tune in to my gripping look at reality in the occupied territories entitled Israel and Palestine, The Human Cost of the Occupation by Dr. Seema Jalani.
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.